We begin the current daven stuff, the Siyum Daf Ches. We begin four lines down for the top of the Yamad. The Gemara continues the discussion of the previous stuff, and that is we introduced the Machlekes, Reb Shimon Rehuda, regarding if the tzitz was meratza only when it was worn at that moment when the tumah happened for the karbonis on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol, or was it even when he wasn't wearing it? And that the Gemara said is the same Machlekes that was on with the Amayoram regarding with Rav Sheish and Rav Nachman if we say the tumah is huch b'tzibur or t'chui b'tzibur. And that is the opinion that says that it was only when he was wearing it on his forehead, because he held that Tumah is Huchra B'tzibur, and that's why the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim, although he wasn't wearing it, it's not a problem because it was Huchra. The other opinion held that no, Tumah is Duchui B'tzibur, and therefore you see that if the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim, who was not wearing it, would still have a Ritzui of the Tzitz, obviously it would work even when they weren't wearing it. Now regarding that Machlekes between Shimon and Yehuda, again, which was if the Tzitz is Meratza only when he's wearing it or not, so the Gemara continues on this and asks a question. Uler B'Shimon, the Amar Tamed Miratze, according to B'Shimon, that he interpreted the Pasuk Tamed, as we explained in the previous stop, the word Tamed in the Pasuk was explained differently according to the two opinions. Is it going on Tamed L'Ratzin? It is always an appeasement, like B'Shimon said, because even when he's not wearing it, or is it like Yehuda had learned that it's going back on, it has to be on his forehead constantly, even though he said it's not always on his forehead, but it means always has to be on his mind. So according to B'Shimon that said that it's always creating an appeasement even when he's not wearing it, but Voksiv. But it says in the Pasuk, which is how what Rabbi Yehuda had demonstrated, it says, Al, and the Girsa takes out the Vav, it's Al Metzach, it's on his forehead, Venasa, and he carries it, which sounds like the way Rabbi Yehuda had described in the previous daf, that when is it creating a Ritzui? When it's on his forehead. If it's not, then it's not. So how could Rabbi Shimon say that it's always an appeasement if it sounds like it has to be on his forehead? That the Gemara answers, Rabbi Shimon would tell you, Hahu l'kvoy le'makam hudasa. When the Pasuk says that it's on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol, it doesn't mean that's only when the appeasement will come. It's just telling you where it should go. It should be worn on his forehead. However, it will even be when he's not wearing it, even when it's hanging on a peg. But that the Gemara asks, then Rabbi Yehuda, l'kvoy le'makam inale. Where does Rabbi Yehuda know if he's using that Pasuk to say that it's only an appeasement when it's on the forehead? But so where do we have a separate Pasuk to tell you that where it's supposed to be? Because if it's telling you a step further, if it's only telling you where it's supposed to be, you wouldn't know that it's only when it's on his forehead, like Rabbi Shimon says. So is Rabbi Yehuda have two psukim to say that A, it's on his forehead, and then another pasuk to say that the appeasement is only when it's on his forehead? So on that the Gemara says, Nafkalei ma'al metzchai, he learns it from the end of the pasuk. So we have two places in the pasuk where it says on his forehead, one to tell you where it's supposed to be, and one to say that the appeasement is only when it's on his forehead. So that the Gemara asks, so Rabbi Shimon nami tebikle ma'al metzchai, so according to Rabbi Shimon also then, if it's telling us where it should be, so then let Al-Metzach tell you where it's supposed to be. And then let Al-Metzach say that the appeasement is only when it's on his forehead. So that the Gemara says, Enechanami. Yes, we learned it out from Al-Metzach. Ella Al-Metzach, again, it takes out the Vav de Girsa. V'nasa Samaya B'lei. So what does he do again then with that Pasuk, which sounds like that the carrying of the sin of the Tumah in the Beis HaMikdash is only when it's on his forehead, which Reb Shimon does not agree to. So Amalach, Reb Shimon would tell you that the explanation of the Pasuk is, Ra'u L'Metzach, a tzitz that's fit for the forehead is meratza. That's what the pasuk is teaching you. Then it creates an atonement. She'ena ro'u lemetzach, if it's not fit for the forehead, then ain't a meratza, then it will not create an appeasement. What does that mean? La'afuki nishbar tzitz, as we explained in the previous daf, that comes to exclude if the tzitz is broken, delay meratza, then it will not create an appeasement. So Reb Shimon holds it doesn't actually have to be on the forehead, but it means it has to be fit for the forehead. That's what the other word in the pasuk, al-metzach, comes to teach you. And therefore, if it's broken, Reb Shimon would agree. But to be on his forehead, it doesn't have to actually be on his forehead. So that the Gemara asks, Uli Rabbi Yehuda nishba tzitz minali, where does Rabbi Yehuda know the halacha of a broken tzitz? That doesn't work. And that the Gemara says, Nafkelei mimetzach mitzchai. He learns that from the extra vav. It didn't have to say mitzchai. It could have said ametzach. Why is it ametzchai? And the extra vav that comes to teach you all three halachas. One ametzach tells you that it has to be, that's the area where it goes, to tell you the makim. Another metzach without the vav teaches you that it has to be not broken. And then metzchai comes to teach you even the added halacha, which is what Rabbi Yehuda argues in Reb Shimon, that it has to be actually on his forehead to create an appeasement. The Gemara concludes, Rabbi Shimon metzach mitzchai l'mashma. Reb Shimon doesn't hold to that drasha of saying the extra vav teaches you this added halacha, and therefore he doesn't have that extra source that Rabbi Yehuda has to tell you that it has to be on his forehead. Rather, Rabbi Shimon holds that even if it's not on his forehead, it will create an appeasement of the Tumah in the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Gemara says, that Nima Hanitanoi Kanitanoi. Let's say the Machlokes, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda that we had just described in the previous daf, which we said is a machlokes tanoim of the machlokes that we had in the Amayrom of Rav Sheshet Rav Nachman, if tumah is hutra b'tzibur, if it's totally permitted, we have no qualms whatsoever, even if we have an option of tahara, we still have no problem using tumah. Or is tumah only d'chuyah b'tzibur, if we have an alternative, then we do it, but if we do it in tahara. Let's say it's the same as a different machlokes tanoim, that they argue in the same concept. The Tanakh learned the Braisa. There's three different opinions in this Braisa. First opinion the Braisa says is, echad zeh ve'echad zeh. Both the Kohen Gadol that's being separated for the Avodah Mikippur and the Kohen that's being separated for the Avodah of the Paraduma, they're both separated for 7 days. And during their separation, Maznalov Kol Sheva, we sprinkle on them things to be the purification waters to be Mitahara them all 7 days. Now, what is that purification waters? Mikol Chatoy Shal Yisham, from all the Paradumas that they had from all the years, which they create this liquid, this Mayim that are Mitahar, the people that become Tameh, we spray them for all the 7 days from all the Paraduma ashes that they have. That's the opinion of Rameya. That's both the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippurim and the Kohen before that does the Paraduma. The second opinion of the Brayer, so he says, Ein maznalov ela shlisha bishvi. We only spray them the third day that they're separated and the seventh day that they're separated, bulvat, and that's it, nothing more. And his opinion will be explained later on in the Gemara. He says, Kohen has sarifas apara, the Kohen that's burning the ashes of the par, to create the ashes of the paraduma, him maznalov kol sheva, him we sprinkle him all the 7 days that he's separated. Whereas Kohen Gadol be Yom Kippurim, the Kohen Gadol before he does the avodah on Yom Kippurim, ein maznalov ela shlisha bishvi, him we only sprinkle the third day he's separated and the seventh day. But now the Gemara wants to say that the machlekes tanoim of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon regarding if tumas hutra b'tzibur or tchuya will be telling in the first two opinions in this brisa, as the Gemara says, my love, b'halkim ifli, doesn't it make sense to say that this is exactly what they're arguing about? Rameir savar tumah tchuya b'tzibur. Rameir holds tumah is only pushed aside, and that is essentially we really need it to be done b'tahara, and therefore, what does it require if we're doing a pure, a complete tahara? The Kohen Gadol who's doing the Avoda has to make sure, because we're concerned he was Tameh, that's why we sprinkle him during the time that he separated. We have to do the spraying, the sprinkling on him with the purification waters in its proper time. Now, every single day we're in doubt, is this the third day that it became Tameh, which would be going in the first 3 days? And in the last 3 days, we're concerned maybe it's the seventh day, we don't know. So every day we have to spray him. And therefore, since Rameh holds Tumah Tchuyah B'Tzibur, you got to do it every day because we have to make sure that he's totally tar. Because even if he's Tameh with a Tamei Mace, it could be done b'diavad, but like Tchila, we have to make sure we're sprinkling him every single day to make sure we get day 3 and day 7. Rabbi Yasi Sabar, no, Tumah Heter Hi B'Tzibur. Tumah is totally permitted when it's done for Avoida B'Tzibur. And since the Kohen Gadol that does Avoida Mekipurim, it's Avoida B'Tzibur. And therefore, we're not so stringent to do it every single day. We do it like a Maila Ba'alma, like we learn from Miluim. And hence, you could do it on day 3 and day 7. We don't have to, and even though it might not be day 3, day 7, it's not really necessary because it's really totally permitted to Tumah. So therefore, it seems to be they're arguing the same Achleik, Sir Shimon Rabbi Yehuda. On that, the Gemara says, V'tizbra, is it possible to say this? That this is what they're arguing about? Esav Rabbi Yosi Heter Hibitzibur. If Rabbi Yosi holds, a tum is totally permitted when it's done Bitzibur, Sazok Lalomali. Why do I need sprinkling at all? In other words, to do exactly day 3 and day 7. What's the significance of day 3 and day 7, which is only significant if you're doing it because of Tumah, which is if someone became Tumah from a mess, he has to be sprinkled day 3 and day 7, but there's no problem about Tumah. So why would I do it at all, and especially to do it just on day 3 and day 7? So David the Gemara says, you're right, that's not what they're arguing about, this Machlokes Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda. Rather, the Kulei Alma, both of these opinions hold, the Hani Tanoi Savri, that these Tanom would hold, Tumah D'chuyah Hibitzibur. Both Remeir and Reb Yisi would hold that it's like Reb Shimon. The Tumah is only pushed aside, and it's not totally permitted. So what are they arguing about? Again, this is what they're arguing about. Remeir Savar Amrinan Tvila Bezman Mitzvah. Remeir holds the principle that doing the immersion in its proper time is a mitzvah. And that's because, as he learns out from a pasuk in Bamidbar Perekut Tes, it says, v'cheto b'yem ha-shvi, that he will purify himself on the seventh day, v'chibis b'gadam, he'll wash his garments, b'rachatz, and that is, this pasuk is coming to teach us that the tevila should be on day 7, and therefore, which means on its proper time. You shouldn't do it on any other time. And therefore, we learn that hazah, to tefillah, which are both purification processes, to say that it's a mitzvah to be done in its proper time. Now, therefore, every single day, we don't know if this kohen became tamei now. We want to make sure he is tar. So every single day might be day 3 or day 7. And that's why Meir holds that every single day of the separation, we sprinkle them with these purification waters. Whereas Rabbi Yasi holds, lo yamrin tefillah bizman mitzvah. We don't say that doing the tefillah in its proper time is a mitzvah. And as the Gemara Masechet Kiddushin of Samach Beis of Anaf learns, what does he do with the pasuk v'chetoy that sounds like that you should purify yourself on day 7? He doesn't hold it's a mitzvah, and therefore you can go ahead and do it on day 3, even if it's not day 3, and then 4 days later do it on day 7 because it doesn't make a difference. And as long as you get 3 and 7, you're okay. Now the Gemara asks on this. The sub Rabbi Yasi, does Rabbi Yasi really hold, as we're answering this question now of what they're arguing about, that lo yamrin tefillah bizman mitzvah, that we don't say that tefillah in its proper time is a mitzvah? But Vitalin the Brisa, and the way we ultimately explain it, seems to contradict this and says to the contrary, that Rabbi Yasi does hold that tefillah bizman is a mitzvah. Because the Brisa says as follows, Harisha ha yishem kosav al b'sarv, if someone has the name of God written on their flesh, so you're not allowed to erase the name of Hashem. So Harizah le'yirchatz, he's not allowed to bathe himself. And that's because we learn out the isser of erasing Hashem's name from a pasuk that it says, v'yibadetim eshramam, you should erase the names of the idols, which near it says in the pasuk, le'sasin kein, you shouldn't do the same thing to Hashem. So you can't erase the word of God on your flesh. So you're not allowed to bathe. V'le'yasuch, and you cannot smear, you can't anoint yourself, you can't put on cream. V'le'yamed b'makam atinavis, you can't stand in a dirty place because the name of Hashem is there. Now, if it happened that there's a requirement from the Torah to go ahead and immerse in the mikvah, which is cases of tahara, so then there's a different halacha. Then of gemi, then you wrap on him. He wraps on himself a reed grass, which is to protect the name of Hashem from the strength and the different pushing of the water on the name of Hashem, which would erase it. And then he immerses himself in the mikvah. That's the opinion of Tanakama. He says, Yerid v'tovah kadarka. You could go ahead and immerse yourself in the mikvah as it's normal, and you don't have to put on the reed grass in it. But v'atchali yishavshav, as long as you don't rub, because then you would be actively erasing the name of God, that's forbidden. But to immerse in the mikvah, you could do it even without a reed grass. Now, v'kaim alon, we established already in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kof Chof Amad Beis, that what they're really arguing about is, the betvila bizmana mitzvah kamifke. They're arguing about if tefillah in its proper time is a mitzvah or not, because as is explained over there in the Gemara, that what's the point of putting on the reed grass? If it's going to protect it from being erased, then that's a chatzitza. And if it's not going to be a chatzitza, so then it's going to erase it. So what's the point of that? So ultimately what the Gemara says over there is, the Tanakama holds, lo yamrina tefillah bizman mitzvah. We don't say that immersing in the mikveh at the time when it's allowed to, in its proper time, when you finish the tumah, let's say, that's not a mitzvah per se. And therefore, since we don't want to leave the name of Hashem out in the open, because although you could cover it with your hand, but we're concerned that you might uncover it, and therefore we prefer a regress. And since we're not concerned that you have to do the mitzvah right now of immersing in the mikvah, because it's not a mitzvah to do it in its proper time, so then we mandate that you should first get a regress before you do that. However, Rabbi Yasi holds, although, yes, it's better to have a regress covering the name of Hashem, because although the water will get there, because else it's chatzitza, however, we don't want the name of Hashem to be uncovered. But the reason why we don't tell you to get the reed grass, and rather go in the mikveh straight away, is because Armina, we say tefillah bizman mitzvah, because we say immersing in the mikveh in its proper time is a mitzvah. And therefore, you might not find the reed grass, and you're going to spend time finding it, and then you're going to end up pushing it off to the next day. You're going to miss out that mitzvah of doing the tefillah in its proper time. That's where Rabbi Yasi's opinion is. Don't get the reed grass. Hold your hand over there and do the tefillah that way, so it won't be chatzitza, the name will be erased, but you won't be doing it actively, and we don't want you to go ahead and finding it, because then you might not do it in this proper time. So that's that machlekes that's mentioned over there. But one thing we see is that Rabbi Yasi is saying that tefillah bizmana is a mitzvah. So how can we answer in our Gemara that everyone agrees tumah is dchuyah, it's pushed away. And that's why Rabbi Meir holds that you have to go ahead and do it every single day, because it might be that day. The whole machlokes was, if there's a mitzvah to do it in its proper time, to have to get exactly day 3 and day 7, and not a later day 3 and day 7. But Rabbi Yasi, he's the one that holds tefillah bizmana is a mitzvah. And therefore he should hold like Rabbi Meir to do it every day, so we get exactly day 3 of when the tumah happened, and day 7. So El Rav, the Gemara says, you're right. The Kuli Amalahani Tanoi Amrinan Tefillah Bizman Mitzvah. Both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yasi hold, as we demonstrated Rabbi Yasi for sure holds, that tefillah in this proper time is a mitzvah. So then the question then becomes, so why does Rabbi Yossi not require every single day like Rabbi Meir does? Because what they're arguing about is, Rabbi Meir savor makshin hazal l'tvila. That halacha of a tvila b'zman mitzvah is learned out from the pasuk of Echita b'yem shvi is talking about tvila, immersion in the mikvah. So Rabbi Meir equates hazah to tvila, sprinkling the purification waters, which is a purification process. He compares to tvila in the mikvah, which is also tahara. And therefore you have to do it every single day because this might be day 3 or day 7 from when the tuma actually happened. Rabbi Yossi holds that we don't compare hazah to tvila. And that is hazah in this proper time is not a mitzvah. Now, when Rabbi Yossi says that you have to do it day 3 and day 7, is that is that you shouldn't have more than 4 days between day 3 and day 7. But you don't have to have it to be exactly day 3 from when the Tumah happened. It could be a week later, and it could be whatever time it is. And then you have a counting of the 7 days, and then day 3, and then 4 days later will be day 7. And therefore, you don't have to do it every single day because maybe this is day 3 from when the Tumah happened. You separate the kohen 7 days before. Now, on day 3 of that separation, will for sure have been at post the Tumah, because he's been separated for 3 days, so it's going to be at least day 3, so then you can do it day 3, and then 4 days later, day 7, you don't have to do it every single day, because there is no mitzvah of hazah bizmana mitzvah. You have a tefillah, but not hazah. On that, he doesn't compare the two. So therefore, that's how the Gemara's conclusion is regarding the machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir. Tully in a different question, if we compare hazah to tefillah, to have to do it bizman. But now the Gemara goes on to the third opinion that was mentioned in the Braisa. Reb Chanina Sekana Kahana, what does he hold? If he equates hazah to tefillah, and just like he says regarding that tefillah would, let's say, would require every single day, and hazah would be the same. So then why does he only say by the paraduma that you have to do the hazah every single day? So the same thing should apply to kohen gadol mikipurim. Why does he say only 3rd and 7th? It should be every single day of the 7 days too, because he compares the two, like Rabbi Meir does. Now, if he doesn't compare the two, like Rabbi Yossi, and therefore, you don't have to do it every single day because you don't have to have hazah bizmana mitzvah. But then, afilah kohen service apar namiloi. Then even the kohen that's burning the paraduma for the ashes, he also shouldn't have to do it every single day of the 7 days. Rather, only 3 and 7. Where's this discrepancy that he says that the kohen that burns the paraduma for the ashes does have to do it every single day, whereas the kohen gadol only day 3 and day 7? So the Gemara answers, la'olam lo makash. Truth is, he holds like Rabbi Yossi that we don't compare hazah to tevila, although tevila, immersion in the mikvah, is a mitzvah to do in this proper time, and therefore you would have to take care of all the doubts. Hazah, you don't have to. Now, however, the fact that the kohen that burns the paraduma, that him we require a hazah every single day of the 7 days, that is just a ma'al ba'alma, as we've explained on the previous dafim. There are certain milas they took regarding the paraduma, because since they made him a lower level of tahara, that they made him only a tevul yoim, that he had become tummy the day and then immersed and then did it before Harav Shemesh to counteract what the tzedukim held. So therefore we made many, many milas, and this would be one of the milas that's why we did hazah every single day, even though it's not necessary, as we find by the kohen gadol on yet before Yom Kippur. Now related to this machloikis, there's 3 way machloikis in regards to the halachas of the hafrasha of the kohen gadol before Yom Kippurim and the kohen that's bringing the parah. The Gemara asks, "Kaman azlahad d'tanaban?" Which one of these opinions would be like the following brisa? The brisa says, "In being kohen haservice apar, there is no difference between the kohen that's bringing the paraduma, the kohen gadol b'Yom Kippurim, and the kohen gadol before Yom Kippurim. Ella, rather, the only difference is, as we continue on to Amud Beis, shezeh the kohen gadol before Yom Kippurim prishasay l'kedusha." His separation is for sanctity purposes, and that is because he's going into the Machne Shechin, he's going into the Kachet Kachim, the holiest of holies. We don't want his heart to be full of gaiva, and therefore we separate him from all type of frivolity and kalus roish, rather that he should have the awe and the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he separates from every other person. And therefore his brothers, the Kanim, are allowed to touch him, because his separation is not for Tahara purposes, rather for Kedusha purposes. Whereas, Bezeh, regarding the kohen that's being separated, for the paraduma, prishasa l'tahara, his separation is for purity purposes. And that is, we want to be stringent, as we just explained before, because of the leniencies we made regarding his tahara, that we made him tummy that day to then immerse himself to counteract what the tzedukim had said, therefore we're stringent regarding his tahara, and hence, and this is the difference between the two of them, ve'ein achal hakam nagma. Therefore, his brother's account cannot touch him because you don't want any transmission of tumah from one person to another, to the kohen, and that would be the difference between the two of them. Now, come on, who's this brisa like? So now the Gemara says, Oy Remeir, Oy Rebiyasi. It's either like Remeir or like Rebiyasi, and that is because they don't differentiate regarding the halachas of hafrasha of the kohen that serves hasapara and the kohen galal before Yom Kippur. Because the Irab Chanina, Skanakan, if this brisa would be going like Irab Chanina, then ha'ika namiha, there would be another difference between the two of them, besides if the brothers, the Kahanim, could touch Manad, it would be because by the paraduma, they spray him all 7 days, in contrast to the Yom Kippurim by the Kohen Gadol, where there they do not spray him all 7 days. Now, the Gemara goes back to this entire concept of that we go ahead and do the Hazah all 7 days. And that is, as we said, because according to the opinion of Remeir, Hazah Bizmana is also a mitzvah because we compare Hazah to Tefillah, and we have to be concerned every single day. Maybe this is day three. In other words, if someone became Tamei, he needs a purification process of 7 days. 3 days after is when he has the first Hazah, and 7 days later, it has to be exactly in its first opportune time of when he became Tamei. So every day might be day three when we're separating him. We don't know, did he become Tamei now? Did he become Tamei yesterday, the day before? So you have to do it the first day, the second day, the third day. Every day you have to be concerned. Maybe it's day three. And then the latter half of the week, maybe it's day seven. So now the Gemara asks the following question. Maskevlar Rebiyasi Reb Chanina. Bishle Merishin. I understand very well the first day that they separate of the 7 days that they're separating the Kohen Gadol before he's doing the Avodah. So the first day you spray the water on him because Shema Shlishi. Maybe this is, as we said, it has to be exactly day three and day seven. That's because the Hazab Bizmana is a mitzvah. Maybe this is the third day from when he became Tamei. And that is maybe 3 days ago he became Tamei. And now we're only separating him today. But this might be day three from there. So you got to spray him today. Now, Shani, the second day we separate him, oh, again, maybe Shema Shlishi. Maybe this is really the third day. Maybe only 2 days before he got separated, he was Tamei, and therefore the second day of the separation is day three, so you got to sprinkle him then. Shlishi, now the third day he separated, oh, Shema Shlishi, maybe this is really the third day, because maybe 1 moment before they separated him, he became Tamei, so therefore on day three is when it's day three from his Tamei. And now to the last half of the week that we separate him. Chamishi, the fifth day, Shema Shvi, maybe that's the seventh day, and that is maybe that the first day he was separated was really the third day of when he became Tamei. So it comes out that the fifth day of when we're separating him is the seventh day of his Tumah. Same thing applies. Shishi Shemeshvi. The sixth day of when we separate him maybe is the seventh day of when he became Tamei. And Shvi Shemeshvi. Maybe the seventh day is really the seventh day is maybe the second before he was separated, he became Tamei. So therefore, the third day that we sprinkle him is really the third day of the Tumah. And the seventh day when we separate him is the seventh day. So that takes care of every day but El Revi Lamali Hazal Klal. Why do you need any sprinkling on the fourth day whatsoever? Again, there's no reason to sprinkle him every single day, as we said in contrast to maybe the paraduma that Ma'il Ba'amla, but for sure, regarding the Kohen Gadol Mikippurim, we said the whole reason is because every day might be that day. Now, the fourth day, Loi B'Shlishi Ikelis Vukei, it can't entertain that maybe it's the third day because he's already been separated already for 3 days and no one got near him with Tumas Mes, so therefore day four is for sure not day three of Tumah. And the seventh day also you can't entertain that maybe that's what day four is. Because even if, let's say, this would be day four of when we're separating, is 7 days from when he became Tamei. But what that means is, what that would mean, is that means 1 day before he was separated was essentially then the third day of the Tumah. Now, but we didn't do any Hazah on him then because we didn't even separate him then. Now, spraying on the seventh day is nothing without spraying on the third day. It has to be, it only becomes day seven with having a day three beforehand. So therefore, day four is not day three, and it's not day seven. So what is the purpose of sprinkling him on day four? So that's the Gemara response to the questioner. L'tamech, according to your reasoning that you're asking, why do we do all 7 days? Day four seems to not have a reason. Hazok kol shiva me'ika, your premise of your question makes it sound like you hold that we do it literally all 7 days. But do you think we do it all 7 days? But V'akayim alone already established in the Mishnah Masechtas Pesachim, the Hazah Shvus, although sprinkling for the purification process is only an Issa D'Rabbanan, yet still the Mishnah there tells us to have Eina Deiches HaShabbos. It does not override Shabbos, and we don't allow it. Now, obviously what we see is that you cannot do Hazah on Shabbos, although there it's talking about in the context of the Karban Pesach, but what you find for the purification process, we don't allow Hazah to be done on Shabbos. So what do you have to say based on that Mishnah? That Shiva L'Bar Mishabbos, although we spray him for all 7 days, obviously that excludes Shabbos, where that's an Isra Abundan that we do not allow it to be done on Shabbos. So Achinami, so that answers your question here also. Shiva L'Bar Mervi, you're right, we do it all 7 days, except for the fourth day, because there is no doubt of it being day three or day seven. So the Gemara concludes based on this that Amar Rava, Rava says, Hilchich, therefore, Kain Gadol B'Yom Kippurim, the difference would come out based on this halacha, it would require a difference of procedure. So the Kain Gadol B'Yom Kippurim, the Loi B'Didan Tal Yimilse, the day he's going to do the Avodah does not depend on us. El B'Kvid Yarcha Tal Yimilse, it depends on when the month begins, because it always has to be done on the 10th of Tishrei is when Yom Kippurim is. So therefore, B'Tlasa B'Tishrei B'Yom Lefurusha, obviously we have to separate him on the 3rd of Tishrei, which is 7 days before the 10th of Tishrei when Yom Kippurim is. And therefore, what comes up by default is V'chol Emes de Misrasi Tlasa B'Tishrei Mefushinle. Whenever the 3rd of Tishrei is, that's when we separate him. Now, although it could possibly come out that day 4 is not going to be on Shabbos, then it comes out, he's not going to be working for 2 days. He's not going to have the Hazah for 2 days. He's not going to have the Hazah on Shabbos, as we said. You don't do Hazah on Shabbos. And he's not going to have day 4, because day 4 can't be either day 3 or day 7. Aval Kohen has service apart, but this is the difference. Regarding the Kohen that burns the paraduma to create the ashes, the Bididan Tal Yimilse, which depends on us. In other words, there's no set time when you have to do it. We want to be Matahar someone. We want to create these ashes. We could do it whenever it is that we want to. It's not a specific day. Therefore, Mefrashin and Leib Revi B'Shabbos, we always begin the separation of those 7 days on a Wednesday. And the reason is, Ki Hechi D'Nisram Revi Shleib B'Shabbos, so that his fourth day comes out on Shabbos, and that we only interrupt the sprinkling of the purification waters only 1 day, because that comes out day 4 when we're anyways not going to do it, comes on Shabbos when we're not allowed to do it anyway, and not to do it on any other day, because then we're going to be missing out both Shabbos and of day 4. Now the Gemara resumes discussing our Mishnah that spoke about that where he's separated to, the Kohen Gadol, where he's sequestered, is in the Lishkas Baheden, it's in the northern part of the Hazar. Now that the Gemara brings two different discussions to explain this term of parhedron. What does the word actually mean? So time in the Brice or Behuda says, Chilishkas parhedron haisa, was this chamber where the Kohen Gadol would stay for the 7 days before Yom Kippurim, was it really called Lishkas parhedron? Now literally parhedron means the appointees of the king. But v'haloi Lishkas valvate haisa, this was called a more noble type of a term, which was called that it was called the chambers of the princes, of the noblemen. And therefore, why are we calling it in our Mishnah Lishkas Parhedron? So Ella rather Bitchila, originally, in the days of Shimon HaTzadik, who lived for a long time, Hayikari Naisa Lishkas Valvati, that's when they called it, it was the chamber of the noblemen. However, and that's because the Kohen Gadol that was doing the Avodah, they were separate over there, it had a chash of a term, that of noblemen, because that's where the Kohen Gadol was. However, since they were individuals that gave money to then purchase, so to speak, the job of being the Kohen Gadol, and that's because the Kohanim of the second Beis HaMikdash, they only were appointed to be Kohen Gadols by bribery, by giving money to purchase the position of the Kohen Gadol, and they gave this money to the kings of the Malchus Beis Chashmonai. And therefore, U'machlifin Isa Koshnei Masachedish, that this building was redone every 12 months. And that's because since these individuals that were becoming Kohanim Gadolim were wicked people, they didn't last the year, and they didn't survive, and another Kohen Gadol took over that job. Now, every Kohen that became and took over the job, they would destroy their old chamber and build a new one, more beautiful than the first one, where he would be staying for those 7 days in this new suite before the Avodah on Yom Kippurim, and then he would call it by his name. So therefore, it would come out that it was being changed every single year, this chamber, Kippar Hedron Halolu, like these appointees of the king, Shemachlif and Oysam Kol Shnei Masachedesh, that the king changes them every 12 months. And that's why it was changed from the term, yes, it originally was called Lishkas Valvati, but which was a noble term, but then it was changed to Lishkas Parhedron to say that it's just like these appointees that are changed every 12 months. And Lefika Chayakarinas Lishkas Parhedron. So that's where the name stuck, that we called it Lishkas Parhedron. Now, related to this term, Parhedron, the Gemara continues on the following discussion. Tanan Haslam, we learned over there in the Mishnah Masechtas Demaya that says, Hanach Toimim, regarding the bakers. Now, the bakers, they would purchase, though it's talking about a chaver, which is someone that's scrupulous in the halachas of Trumas and Maestras, but they would purchase their grain from Ama Aretz, from ignoramuses that had the fields that had the grains, to sell, and then they would buy that, to be able to sell bread to the marketplaces for the public. Now, regarding these bakers, the Mishnah tells us, Lo chayvu eisen chacham lahafrish, the chachamim did not require the bakers to separate, which would be Maiser Sheni, from Demai, to bring it up to Yerushalayim. And that is, Demai is what's called Domai. What is this? Demai was from the Amaratzim. When you purchase from them, we don't know if they took off Meiser or not. So regarding that, we have to take off all the Meisters out of doubt that maybe he didn't take it off. However, the Chum did not require the bakers to take off Meiser Sheni, which is the 10th, which is taken off and brought to Yerushalayim and eaten over there. Ella, rather, the only thing that they required from the bakers was Trumas Meiser, which is a 10th of the 10th, which is 100th of the produce, and V'chala, and the challah, which is a small little part that's taken off from the dough that's given to the kohen. However, everybody else, there the Chacham did require a mandate that the Meiser Sheni, the 10th of Meiser Sheni, should be taken off of the Demai and brought up to Yerushalayim. Whereas in contrast to Meiser Rishon, which is the first 10th that's given to the Levi, and Meiser Ani, which is the other years when it's given to the poor person, there, although you have to separate it, however, you don't have to give it to the Levi and to the Ani, as the Gemara will explain shortly. And now we're talking about, again, a baker that's a Talmud Chacham, that's someone that's scrupulous in these halachas. Now, since he's always selling bread, this is what he works in, so the Chacham were more lenient, as the Gemara will explain shortly, that they did not mandate and require him to take off Meiser Sheni from this Demai that he's purchasing from the Amaretz to bring up to Yerushalayim or to redeem it. Now, on this, the Gemara asks to understand this halacha. So, Bishlam Truma Gedayla, we understand very well that Truma Gedayla, which is the great Truma, which is even the most minute amount, but it's either generally 1/50th that's taken off or given to the Kayan, that wasn't required to be taken off from Demai that's purchased from Amaretz. The time, because as we learn the Braisa, as the Gemara continues on top of Tesam and Aleph, Lefisha Shalch, because Yechon and Kohen Gadol had sent, and that is, he was the one that made the Gezerah on Demai in the first place, as the Gemara in Masechta Sait explains, the Mem Chesam and Aleph, that he sent B'chol Gavul Yisrael in all the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. V'rah She'im Afrishon, and he saw that they don't separate the maestros that are necessary, El Truma Gedol B'vad. The one thing that he saw that they did separate was Truma Gedolah. And therefore that the Amaratim do take, so that's for sure, it's not required for sure not the baker, but even anybody to separate that. And the same thing applies Maeser Rishon, Maeser Ani Namala. He also doesn't have to go ahead and give the first tenth, which is given to the Levi, or the poor man's tenth, which is on different years, that also is not required to give, because Hamitzim Mechaveir Olavaraya, which is a halacha in Chesha Mishpat, halacha that's in the laws, that if someone wants something from someone else, it's incumbent upon him to bring the definite proof. And that is, from the time when this person separates the Meiser Rishon and the Meiser Ani, now it's not anymore tevel, it's not untithed, it was taken off. But however, it was at most a suffix, it's doubt in monetary law if he's stealing from the Levi or the Ani, because we don't know if it was taken off Meisers or not from the Amaretz. And therefore we say that he has to prove that this grain that I purchased from the Amaretz had no Trumas and Meisers taken off from it. Now, however, Trumas Meiser that we're saying that the Nachtim, the baker, has to take off, is because within this Meiser region that's given to the Levi, a tenth of that is given to the Kayan, that is forbidden and it's a sin for anybody but a Kayan to eat that. So therefore, that he has to give to the Kayan because he can't eat it anyway. But regarding Meiser region and Meiser Ani, where everyone could eat it, the only question is monetarily who owns it. On that, it's a suffix, it's a doubt. And Hamoitze Mechavar, you want to take away from me and say that it is my serishin because he had not taken off, prove it to me. And if he can't prove it, the halacha is that I could keep it. However, the Gemara concludes the question, Ela Meiser Sheni, but regarding Meiser Sheni, Nifreshu v'nisku v'nechlo b'Yerushalayim, we should require him to separate the Meiser Sheni and bring it up and eat it in Yerushalayim. Because, first of all, you have to separate the Meiser Sheni because there's an Isser. When it comes to Isser, the suffix is Machayev that we are Machmer. As we said regarding the Meiser Ani and Meiser Rishon, you have to separate it. It's just that we said you could keep it. Because as it says regarding Meiser Sheni, Leisucha Lechel B'Sherecha, you can't eat Meiser Sheni in your area, you have to go up to Yerushalayim. So the Gemara is asking, you should have to separate it to be Mesaken, the Tevel that is not Tevel anymore. And since you're not losing anymore, so what's the big thing? So bring it up to Yerushalayim and eat it over there. You're eating at home, so you'll have to eat in Yerushalayim. Why do we say that it doesn't have to bring it up to Yerushalayim? That Amar Ula says, and this is where it comes into our Gemara, Mitech Shepar Hejin Halalu, that because of these appointees of the king, they hit the bakers the entire 12 months. That is, every single year, as we said before, there would be new appointees from the king. And when they started off their shift of the year, they would find different ways of trying to collect more taxes from the bakers when they started off their new tenure. And therefore, they would tell the bakers, machur bezoil, you should sell cheap, because they wanted more revenue. And therefore, lo yatrachunu rabbanon. So therefore, the rabbanon were not matriach, they did not require the baker to go through the effort to go and bring up everything to Yerushalayim, and that is because they were anyways at a loss because of these parhedrin, these appointees, and they would make them sell for very cheap, so they were going to barely making anything. So therefore, Chazal did not require, and they relied on the Rav, which is the majority of the Amaratzim, of the ignorant people, they do take off Ma'aser. It's only that doubt of the minority, so that we, although we required on the regular person, but for a baker that anyways was losing money, we did not require him to take off another tenth of his produce and bring it up to Yerushalayim. The Gemara concludes, my Pahedron. What does it mean that the Pahedron would hit the bakers all the 12 months? It means the appointees of the king, and they're the ones that would be hitting them, and that's why we're lenient regarding bakers, regarding this halacha of Ma'aser Sheni. And that's where it comes into our Gemara to say that it was called Lishkas Pahedron. Again, as we find that the Pahedron would change every 12 months, so too this chamber was changed every 12 months because of the wicked Kohanim Gedolim that were in the second times of the second Beis HaMikdash.